This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. I've got like Hip Hop Sarah over here.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Hip Hop Saturday.
We were doing our sound check. And I was like, sound check. And I should have kept the stupid recording. I deleted it. She was like,
stupid.
Check. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Which I'm actually surprised about because it's so early in the morning.
I know. It's actually not that early for us right now.
True.
We are recording this at 7:51. Mm-hmm. But you got here at 6:30.
Yes.
I got out here at 5:15. Mm-hmm. So it's like noon.
Right.
What's for lunch?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's every day around here though, right? Oh my goodness. Okay. So the way we do these Saturday shows is we answer your questions. Today is a slight variation on that theme because I had sent out a survey to folks who are on the wait list for our 12 weeks to transformation. And basically I said, you know, between now and when the next one opens up, we really want to serve you in the best way possible. We want to give you exactly what you need, know what that is. What would that be? What is it that we can help you with? And we're just grabbing a few answers from that survey, and that's what we are going to dive into one at a time today. So we've got a question about plateaus. We've got a question about sugar and cravings for sugar, keeping weight off, improving mindset, mental clarity, all of that stuff. So I'm really excited. And along those lines, we are giving away a full box of Energy Plus today.
So if you want to wrap in the morning,
that's right.
Take some energy.
That's exactly right. I know, because I have mine right here, about 3/4 through it. It's a big part of it for me.
Yeah.
Like having that natural but not jittery energy.
I know. I feel so fortunate to have it because I don't feel weird or guilty if I need a little pick-me-up.
Yeah, because you don't get that wired feeling. You don't get jittery. You don't get that now I can't come down off it or I'm going to crash kind of sense. It's just like very mild or like mellow.
And clean, not full of junk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is one of the best parts. Anyway, we are giving away a full box of 30 packets of Energy Plus to today's winner. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show, but you know the drill. You can win if you just very simply leave a rating and review of this podcast in Apple Podcasts, or if that's not simple enough, leave a review of Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon.com. Lastly, and perhaps easiest of all, you can just take a screenshot of your phone while you're listening to this podcast, share it out on Facebook or Instagram. You can share something that you've learned from the podcast. Just tag me on it so that you can be entered to win. And every single Saturday, we give away something valuable. Like, we give away several hundred dollars worth of stuff every month.
Yeah. You got to jump on board.
Yeah.
I saw someone had posted, I think, on Instagram that they got their package in the mail and was so excited. I'm like, yay. I'm so glad they got it and that they were excited about it.
And now I don't remember what it was that they won. Did you see?
I just saw the box and it looked bigger to me, so I almost assumed it was energy.
Energy or like protein, GPX,
yeah.
Something bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love that. That was so cool. So yeah, when you get your prize in the mail, that would be cool too. Tag us.
Yes.
Show us. And more importantly, because we've given away a lot of energy, tell us what you think.
I know. I'm so curious to know. And are you drinking it hot or cold?
I know.
Multiple times a day like we are, or just once?
I know. It's so freaking good.
It is.
I always have it with me. I keep it in my car. I have it in my travel bag. I have it in the office. I have it in the house. Everywhere.
Everywhere for me too.
I feel like that could be a Dr. Seuss poem.
Yes.
You know, like in a hat with a bat for my cat.
In a pocket. In a locket. Which is pretty much the case for me. I have it everywhere too.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We are just a little punchy today, huh?
I know.
Well, it's better than grumpy.
Totally.
I would rather be punchy than grumpy any day.
Me too.
Yeah. I think I'm probably about 50-50.
Yeah. I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that for myself.
It's totally fine.
No, 70-30.
All right. So the first response to this little survey that we sent out for folks to kind of see what they need, see where they're struggling. You want to read it?
Yeah. It says, I can't seem to break through plateaus when I reach them. No matter what I do, I can't seem to break through a certain weight and it drives me nuts. I need a focus and determination and a mindset to not give up no matter how long it takes to break through.
I love that they acknowledge that this is really more about mindset and determination, because now I have not met every person on the planet, right? So with that caveat, which seems pretty obvious, I have not met everybody.
Really?
Yeah. I know. It's hard to believe, right?
It is.
There are folks in Ethiopia that I don't know.
What?
I know. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. But what's with us today?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. I've never met anybody that truly can't break through a plateau. What is more often the case is that they get frustrated and they stop trying really freaking fast. Or they're just inconsistent to begin with, right? Or they're not paying attention to their bodies and to what works and what doesn't. And they're just kind of like doing the same thing over and over and over again. And oftentimes it's a little bit of all of those. So let's break this down. And these aren't really in a particular order of operations, but these are just a bunch of things that if you feel like I've hit a plateau, I want you to consider. Beginning with, what do you define as a plateau, right? Because I've had people reach out who are like, it's been a week or two and my weight hasn't budged. I've hit a plateau. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Weight loss is not linear. And our consistency needs to be measured in months, not days or weeks. Okay. So that is kind of the first thing. The second is, are you journaling? Are you keeping really great records, not only of like what you're eating and how much, but also how you feel? I'm not personally a calorie counter. I'm not a macro counter. I'm not a measurer. And I don't think you need to be either. But if you feel like what you're doing is not getting you results, then you have to become a little bit more scientific in your method and a little bit more specific in your documentation. So what I would recommend that you are journaling every day with consistency, not just on the days where you feel like it, where you remember, or where you quote unquote do well. You need to be writing down what you're eating, approximately how much and when, but you also need to be keeping track of things like your hunger, your energy, your cravings, your sleep, your stress level, because all of those are a critical factor. So when we talk about hunger and keeping track of that, I like to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, right? So if I am going to have my shake in, say, maybe an hour or 2 hours, if I felt like I was at a plateau, I would be writing down how hungry am I on a scale of 1 to 10 before I go and have that thing. So right now I'm maybe like a 2, but I tend to have my shake around the same time every day. So if I were at a plateau, I'd be like, maybe I'm giving my body more fuel than it needs because I'm not particularly hungry. I'm just kind of doing this out of habit. Whereas a lot of people who are at a plateau, I'm like, no, see, look, I'm eating really clean and I'm making really good choices. Yeah, but fundamentally, does your body need fuel right now? You know? And a lot of people are just focusing on the food piece, but not focusing on the need piece. Does that make sense? Did I explain that well?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So hunger, you want to pay attention to. Cravings, you want to pay attention to. Mood overall, right? And energy overall. So like if I were to rate my energy right now on a scale of 1 to 10, it would be like a good 8 or a 9. But that is very different information than if yesterday at 4 in the afternoon, I was rating my energy at like a 2 or a 3. All of these things give us information about what is happening in our body. So when people are at a plateau and I'm like, oh, okay, send me your journal. And they're like, oh, I haven't really been great at it. Well, then you're not trying to bust through that plateau because we've got to really pay attention to what is happening in our bodies. All right. The next thing is, have you really been consistent? And what does that mean to you? If you were to put your specs, kind of what you eat, when you work out, all of that kind of stuff up for the world to see, would you genuinely be able to stand behind your own consistency? And I would say that 95 to 98% of people who feel like they're at a plateau would also acknowledge that their consistency has room for improvement. Well, how about you get on that improvement before you throw your hands up in frustration that you are at a plateau? Can it be improved, your consistency? The answer is almost always yes. And we need to act on that yes when we're feeling frustrated. Otherwise, we don't really have the right to be frustrated because we know exactly what we could be doing to get better results. We're just choosing not to do it. And I think a lot of people call that a plateau. And it's really not. Then we want to look at, and again, these aren't particularly in any order. I think they're all really important. We want to look at your macronutrients. So very, very commonly, people eat too much of things that they deem to be healthy, right? So that could be too much protein. I will never forget, my sister came to visit me once when I was living in North Carolina, and I'd probably lost around 140 pounds at the time, but my weight loss had definitely slowed. And I remember being really, really frustrated that what I had been doing wasn't producing the same results for me. Like, I wasn't losing weight at the same pace, even though I was doing the same stuff. And then I look at this picture and I made myself a protein shake and I drank it out of a flower vase. Oh. maybe a bit too much. And I'm not talking about like a bud vase. Mm. It was like a, you know, probably 12 inches tall, 4 inches in diameter. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was large. Okay. Now, here's the thing. When I was 100 pounds heavier, that might have really worked for me. But the reality is that a lot of people overlook is that your fuel needs change as you get smaller. And people keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And they're like, oh, now I've hit a plateau. No, you just haven't adjusted to your body's changing needs. Two very, very common things that I see are over-consuming protein and over-consuming fat. Protein is like, what's another chicken breast? It's a chicken breast. But fundamentally, if you give your body more fuel than it needs, it has to be stored, period. It doesn't matter if it's carrots, if it's chicken breast, or it's cupcakes. Too much fuel in your system relative to what your body needs has to be stored. So a lot of times people will just overdo it, or they'll go back for seconds on the thing that they deem to be healthy. And this also happens, and it's a little bit easier for it to happen with fat, because fat contains more than twice as much energy as protein or as carbohydrate, whereas protein has 4 calories per gram, fat has 9 calories per gram. So when I look at people's journals, I'll see that, yeah, they're eating really clean, but their omelet had eggs and it had bacon and it had avocado and a little bit of cheese. Well, let's realize that those yolks are pure fat, that avocado is basically pure fat, that cheese is high fat, right? That bacon is almost pure fat. And are you giving your body too much? So maybe instead of having fat from 4 sources at breakfast, you say, you know what? If I'm going to do cheese, I'm going to skip the bacon. Or if I'm going to have the avocado, then I'm going to go without the cheese, that sort of stuff. Where does it make sense to dial back on the fat? Or maybe somebody has a snack that's like almonds and a string cheese stick and something like that. Like, do you need 2 sources of fat? Would it be better there to have some carrots with your almonds instead of cheese with your almonds? Not because there's anything wrong with having cheese and almonds, but if you're telling me at a plateau, are you eating too much protein? Are you eating too much fat? The carb thing tends to be a little bit more obvious. I really recommend, when fat loss is the goal, what I call the golden rules of carbs and fat loss. The goal is not to eliminate carbs. The goal is to be really smart in your consumption of them so that you're eating them in a way that works with your body and not against it. And you can learn more about that in episode 195 of the podcast. Then you got to look at, you know, maybe you want to switch up your macros. Like, if you're like, no, I'm only having a little bit of protein, I'm only having fat a few times a day, that doesn't seem to be the problem. Maybe you switch up your macros, right? If you've been a little bit heavier on the fat, lighter on the protein, switch it up. Include more protein, but include a little bit less fat. Or maybe it's the other way around. You've been really prioritizing protein, minimizing fat. Well, switch it up. Dial back the protein a little bit, increase the fat a little bit, switch up those ratios of your macronutrients. Then you want to look at things like hydration. Are you drinking enough water? Yes, that has a serious impact on your metabolic rate. Stress and sleep. People at plateaus typically look at nutrition first, exercise second, and nothing else. Well, stress and sleep are massive factors in your body's ability to burn fat. Is it that you need more sleep? You need better quality sleep? Is it that you are super, super stressed out and you've got to incorporate some stress management techniques? Otherwise, your body thinks it's in a crisis mode and it's not willing to burn fat. Movement. If you are not exercising, start exercising. If you are doing an hour in the gym, try 18 minutes of high intensity intervals instead. Switch it up. Or get a coach, right? Get a coach. Or if you've done all of those things and it's still not working, maybe you get medical help. Maybe there is an allergy and you are consuming something to which you are sensitive. And so your body is in a fight or flight kind of mode and it's not willing to release fat. Or maybe there's a detoxification issue going on. But I would say that one in particular is kind of the last result. That was like a mini episode on plateaus.
I know. And I'm going to ask you a question about it.
Yeah.
Even still. The last part of this statement says they need to, the focus and determination and the mindset to not give up. And mm-hmm. I just wondered if you could touch upon being patient maybe during the process or.
Well, I mean, I think change takes time, right? Yeah. So oftentimes we will spend 20 years putting on weight and then be really pissed off that it didn't come off in 2 months. And I think that's just a maturity thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be a little bit realistic with it. But in terms of focus and determination and mindset, it's I'm a creative, energetic problem solver. Look, if something I'm doing isn't working, I'm not going to stomp my feet and get pissed off about it. I'm going to do something differently. And that, I think, too, goes back to maturity. It's the same thing if you are studying so hard for this grad school course that you're taking and you're still failing every single test. Well, you can get really mad and be like, I'm so frustrated and I just want to quit and I just want to give up. Or you can practice maturity and say, I've got to change my approach. I really think the mindset comes down to that of being a creative, energetic problem solver, which is number one, a huge theme in my book, Chasing Cupcakes. And it's also the number one thing that we focus on inside the 12 weeks to transformation.
Yeah.
Awesome. You see that
Thank
every
you.
Day.
I do. Yeah. That's my favorite part. All right. Let's see. My desire for sugar feels hard to tackle.
My first thought on this is that's okay. It's okay for it to feel hard. You can do hard things. Oftentimes, we don't do it because it's hard. Like, it's too hard. I really want to do it, but my sugar cravings are getting the best of me. If we can shift the mindset to, it's fine that it feels hard, and I'm going to do it anyway, that will open up so many doors in your life. I can't tell you how many things on a given day feel hard. I don't know how to figure this out. I've never been in this situation before. I really don't want to do it. Great. It's hard. I see that. I own that. And I'm doing it anyway. That is a powerful perspective shift that truly will open so many doors. That's number one. Number two is check your perspective. You know, I've talked about this before on the show. What is really hard in life? Is hard I want a Kit Kat and I'm trying not to eat sugar? For me, when I check myself when I have moments where I'm like, oh, this is so hard. You know, just yesterday, I was driving home from the chiropractor and it was dark out. It wasn't too late. It was maybe 6 o'clock. And I did not like the idea of driving home and starting dinner and cleaning up from dinner. And I just wanted to pick up a pizza on the way home. And it just so happens that my favorite pizza place, Wildfire,
oh, yeah.
And I never go that way, right? But when I'm coming back from the chiropractor, it's on the way. And I'm like, I could call them right now. It would be ready. It would be so amazing. That is the best pizza on Cape Cod,
it's
I think.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it's expensive. But it's expensive because it's good.
I would, yes, all day pay for that pizza versus something else.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like, I don't want to even entertain any other pizza around here.
Yeah.
So I'm driving home and I'm having this conversation where I'm like, it would be easier. You know, when I get home, like, I don't even know if the meat is thawed because I had just taken it out of the freezer before I left. And then dinner prep takes longer when you're dealing with frozen meat. And the only real vegetable that I had was spaghetti squash. So that's not quick and easy. You know, you got to bake it. So I'm going through this whole thing about it just feels really hard to go home and cook dinner when I'm tired. And it's so much easier to just pick up pizza and pizza's amazing. well, it's fine. I can do it when it's hard. The mindset of I'm not doing it because it feels hard is going to limit your life so dramatically. When you change to I'm doing it anyway, hard has nothing to do with it. But then also the perspective. That's not what's hard to me. And I know that this, I always say this, it sounds a little like Sarah McLachlan commercial, Save the Animals. Hard was losing my dad. You know, like, that's what's hard. Saying no to Wildfire pizza or sugar on a random evening, that's not hard. I've been through, and I'm sure that this listener has been through some really hard things. And I think of that as kind of like grounding me, bringing me back. Because sometimes we get so sucked into a moment that all that exists is that moment. And we make our feeling in that moment so huge. But if we just expand our perspective a little bit, that's not hard. Every day we hear stories, whether we see them on the news or we read them on our phones or we see them on Facebook, of things that are legitimately hard. The wildfires in Australia. That is hard. That is legit hard stuff. Somebody who gets laid off while they're going through cancer treatment. That is hard. Not having a cupcake when you want a cupcake is not hard. So there's so many different ways to approach this. You know, one is, okay, it feels hard and I'm doing it anyway. The other is grounding yourself in what hard really means. Check yourself, because when we allow our perspective to get so small and narrow, we underestimate ourselves. We underestimate our ability to make a choice, and it doesn't serve us. The other thing I always say to my clients is everything feels hard if you've not practiced. You know, of course, it is more difficult to go to a CrossFit gym for somebody who has only done it once or never done it at all than for somebody who's been 700 times. So what are you doing to make that hard thing easy? What is your role in making it easy? Because for as long as you stand behind it and say, I really want this, but I'm struggling because it's hard, it's not going to get any easier. Then there are some like more scientific kinds of approaches. Number one is, you know, are you eating enough? And when you're fueling your body really, really, really well with a wide variety of vegetables and clean proteins and healthy fats, it absolutely changes your palate. So that is a real opportunity. But it doesn't mean you're not going to have to get yourself through some of the moments that you're currently telling yourself are hard. Cravings are also increased when we are deficient in magnesium. And I did an episode not too long ago on that. Episode 750 is about magnesium, and magnesium deficiency can lead to cravings, as can stress. So what are you doing for stress management? And then lastly, as can bacterial imbalances. So supplementing with probiotics can also help with sugar cravings. But I would not start with the scientific approaches first. I would really start with the mindset stuff.
This person says, I know how to lose weight. The hardest part has always been keeping it off.
I think it's hard to keep it off when you're not willing to keep doing what you were doing to lose the weight in the first place. So for example, before I got married, back a million years ago, I did this crazy restrictive extreme diet where I was basically eating no more than 400 calories a day. Well, the weight came right back on because I wasn't willing or able to keep that up. The people who have the most trouble keeping the weight off are not maintaining the behaviors that took the weight off in the first place. So one of my rules for myself now is I'm not willing to do something that I'm not willing to keep doing. So if you are motivated to lose weight and you're working out 7 days a week and you're counting calories and macros, but you don't want to do that for the rest of your life, then yeah, you're going to have trouble keeping the weight off. But if you are losing weight in a way that you know is going to become your normal for the rest of your life, then you won't have any trouble keeping that weight off. To me, this is 1000% about the sustainability of the approach that you're using to lose the weight in the first place.
Makes it sound so easy.
I think we overcomplicate it.
Yeah, I think you're right too.
Yeah.
I am really struggling to figure out how to improve my mindset and my attitude.
So if I were sitting down with this person, I would say, tell me what your practice looks like. Right? If you are telling me that you want to improve your mindset and your attitude and you're struggling, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to make that change? And what's interesting about this particular comment is struggling to figure out how to, right? Struggling to figure out how to. The beautiful thing about being alive in 2020 is that the how to is at our fingertips. There is no one size fits all. This is the path to improving your mindset and your attitude. You can Google. I'm going to do it right now. How to improve your mindset. Okay, so I came up with 114 million results in 0.5 seconds. The how-to is right there, right? So if the struggle is figuring out how to, I don't believe you. I think what this person probably means is do the work consistently, right? I'm not showing up to make that change happen, which is why I said the first place I would start with this person is, well, what does your practice look like? Tell me, like, because if somebody said to me, I'm really struggling with learning algebra, I'd be like, talk to me about your study habits. How much time are you spending doing the work? Have you stayed after class? Have you gotten a tutor? Have you know, are you working on this every day? Are you working on this 2 hours, 2 hours a day? Are you working on this 2 days a week? What does your practice look like? And where I find most people land is they don't have a practice. They have a desire, but that is quite different. So for example, if I were this person and I was stumped by that question, I would say, okay, well then maybe what I'm gonna do is I'm going to spend 10 minutes at the end of every day reframing everything that upset me or reframing everything that I was negative about. And I'm going to, you know, work through that and say, well, I could have thought about it this way, or I could have thought about it this way, or maybe it's true that this, that, and the other thing. I had a really interesting series of email exchanges with a 12 Weeks to Transformation client who was having some tension with her boss. And in this email exchange, she kept going back to like assumptions about her boss. You know, I asked to meet with her, but she came back with all of these excuses as to reasons why she couldn't. Or, you know, I brought that up, but she's always really condescending. And then I recommended a book for the person in the 12 Weeks to Transformation. And she goes, well, maybe I should just buy that for my boss. Sarah's laughing.
I am. You can't Sorry. See. Yeah. Silently. That's what I
silently
do.
Silently laughing. Right. My little mime. Mime co-host over here. But my point in saying that is it's very, very different to want to be part of a solution and not recognize that you're actually not in the solution itself, you know? So mindset practice, if that was the person who asked this question, and it's not, you know, maybe my boss isn't making excuses. Maybe when she says she can't meet at 8 on Wednesday, it's because she has another meeting. And that's just a fact. It's not an excuse, right? Maybe it's because that while this is priority number one for you, it's priority number 401 for her. And it's not an excuse. It's just reality. Maybe she's not being condescending and you are just interpreting it that way. But if you were in, if you were bringing on a practice of reframing things that upset you in a given day, that is a practice which goes beyond an intention. So we were trying a new process here at Primal Potential for building relationships and supporting people within the 12 Weeks to Transformation. And I got really frustrated on day 3 because the way that we had thought that it would work ended up kind of being not ideal. And if I had the practice, because I was determined to improve my mindset and my attitude of going back through and reframing everything that had frustrated or upset me, then I would have gone from, this isn't working, figure it out, to, hey, day 3 and we're already making it better, right? We're already seeing where we have an opportunity for improvement. That is different from, I wish I could be more positive. I wish I could be more whatever. but not having a practice in place to do something with it. So again, if I were sitting down with this person who says, I'm struggling to figure out how to improve my mindset and my attitude, I would say, the figuring it out how is at your fingertips. There are 100 million things you could do. Tell me what your practice looks like. I would expect you to have a practice, just like if you were trying to learn algebra and you were struggling, I would expect you to say, I've blocked off an hour every day, Monday through Friday, to do these things, and I've reached out to spend time with my teacher or whatever. We have to have a practice in place if we expect to improve.
I want to add to this too, if I could.
Yeah.
I think of you often when I am in some kind of argument with someone I'm close to, and your comment of like, you can either be right or you can get it right. Mm-hmm. And I only have that running through my brain because I'm obviously exposed to you so much, but just a suggestion to this person is like, maybe also drop yourself into community where this is constantly in front of you. Like, yeah. Whether that's people you follow on Instagram or Facebook groups or email subscriptions or whatever it may be, but like, put yourself in that world. And then these things are going to just come more naturally to your mind.
Yeah, it's funny when we get an email from somebody and it's just so obvious that they're not taking responsibility, you know, like the person with their boss and like, oh, well, she's making excuses. Oh, well, she's being condescending. Oh, well, I should get the book for her. To us, because of our environment, it screams at us that this is the problem, that it's really the person writing the email, not the boss.
Right.
But to somebody who's not in that environment, it's really not obvious at all.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. Part of the reason why I was kind of chuckling is because I just picture myself coming into work one day and just sliding a book over to you. Like,
hey, you should read this.
When you have time. Yeah. I recommend this.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think that's a really great point. There are so many free communities or, you know, joining a mastermind or joining the 12 Weeks to Transformation or getting in our free Primal Potential Facebook group. The more you surround yourself with people who are positive and have a healthy mindset, the more that you see that example and it becomes the way that you think.
Yeah, it's your norm.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more here and it says, I feel like I'm always in a fog. I'd love to feel more mental clarity.
I find that one of the things that really helps me most with mental clarity is journaling. Oftentimes when people are in a fog, they're not taking time for presence. They're not taking time to kind of check themselves, to ground themselves, to focus on what matters. They're just going through the motions and they're very, very reactive. And I lived the majority of my life this way. Like, alarm goes off, crap, what do I need to do? Where do I need to be? What's in my email inbox? What's happening in this meeting? What do I need to do after this meeting? And, you know, when you're kind of in the rat race, there's not a lot of clarity. So slowing down to journal puts me in the driver's seat. And it brings my mind to what I want instead of just being constantly in reactive mode. It helps me be a little bit more proactive. So I would say journaling is one of those really simple free things that doesn't take a lot of time. The other thing is stop multitasking, because what that prevents you from doing is really being fully in any moment. And when you're never really fully anywhere, you can't have clarity. You absolutely can't have clarity. But then there are a lot of other pieces to this, like hydration. Hydration has a lot to do with mental clarity, as does good quality nutrition. The cleaner you eat, the more mentally clear you feel. Same thing with alcohol. The less alcohol you drink, the more mentally clear that you will feel. And then there's the sleep and stress components of it. Even if you can't get more sleep in terms of hours, you can get better sleep in terms of quality with things like blackout curtains or blue blocker glasses during the day, or lowering the temperature of your room, different things like that, making sure there's no light in there. And then some supplementation can help with this. We mentioned magnesium earlier. That is certainly one of them. Probiotics are another one. Probiotic strains geared more towards mental health and specifically mental clarity versus a lot of the ones on the market that are geared towards digestion and that sort of thing. But those are a few tips, I would say, on mental clarity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I feel pretty mentally clear.
I know, I do too.
Which is great.
Yes.
And I can't say that I always have.
No, I was going to say in the last maybe 6 months, I've seen a huge improvement for myself.
What do you think that was related to?
Probiotics.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Would you have ever guessed?
No, I wouldn't have guessed. I wouldn't have even thought. It wouldn't have come across my mind.
Yeah, because it's funny because if I look back on the last six months, I've gotten less sleep and I've eaten less clean, but I've added in strains of probiotics for like mental health. And even while sleep deprived, I feel so much more clear. It's crazy.
It is crazy. I know. And I really haven't changed much. Like my diet's pretty consistent. My sleep patterns have been pretty consistent. And that's the only thing. So yeah. And I'm so thankful for it.
We got a winner.
Yeah.
You want to say who it is?
It is from Apple Podcasts, Missy K. Jack.
Missy K. Jack, if that is your Apple.
I thought you were singing.
No, you should have seen Sarah's face. Her eyes just got big. Missy K. Jack, if that is your Apple Podcast ID, email Sarah at primalpotential.com, S-A-R-A-H at primalpotential.com within 60 days of this episode. And we are going to get a box of 30 Energy Plus sticks out in the mail to you, no matter where in the world you live. What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend. Oh, I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I know.
That is rare.
Yeah.
You always have like.
Yeah. And things will come up, obviously. Like I know I'll be doing something. Oh, it's my nephew's birthday.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. I think they're doing something cool. But yeah.
Fun.
I'll celebrate.
I'm having dinner with two of my cousins.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We'll probably meet someplace between here and Boston. Unless they bail.
And are you expecting that?
Well, more so than other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they bail, that's cool because then I don't have to drive.
Yeah. Right.
There's always a silver lining. Yeah. There's always a silver lining. Otherwise, no big plans. Yeah. Actually, that's not true. Infant CPR is this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that I can learn, you know, all the infant CPR things.
Are you doing that from home or are you going somewhere?
We're going someplace.
Cool.
Yeah. So that'll be... interesting.
Yeah, I think that's great that you're doing it.
For sure. All right, everybody, have an amazing day. Keep the questions coming, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.